Ooh. Hello, everyone. How is it going today? I am Coach MJ. If you are new to the membership, you may have not met me yet, but it is I, Coach MJ. So this is a call about drinking. So if y'all don't know my story, I was drinking wine every day for a very long time before I found Corinne Crabtree and this membership, and I changed my relationship with wine. And there are a lot of people in the membership, a lot of women in the membership who have the same struggles. And so I'm the drinking coach, basically. And I started running. So I'm the drunk running coach. If you need me, that is what I do. So this is how it works. If you are new, welcome. We are only going to coach about drinking tonight. So if you have a question about drinking or you want to be coached about drinking, you can raise your hand and we're here for an hour. So I will get as many people as I can. If you have a question that's not related to drinking, we have office hours at the same time every Wednesday. And there's a coach and you can talk about anything you want to talk about, anything at all. And for those of you that caught Corinne's call yesterday, she usually does open coaching as well, but she was just working on going through the planner since we just got a brand spanking new planner. So I do want to talk about something though before we get started. Something kind of hit me this weekend, and I just want to talk to y'all about it. So, we've talked a lot about these calls about developing the relationship that you want with wine and or alcohol of any kind, really. But what I've noticed a lot of people are wanting to do is to keep their same amount that they're drinking, but they want to stop overeating. They want to make better decisions in the moment. And so for me, 3 glasses of wine is my limit. I have, the part in my front that like makes me think, helps me think. And then I have the party in the back that like lets me do all the things if I listen to it. And so 3 glasses of wine, my frontal brain is still firing and I can say no to the pizzas and all that kind of stuff. If I have more than 3 glasses of wine, it switches to the party in the back. I'm like, oh, where's the pizza? Can I have some cookies? Anybody got a cookie? Can we get some ice cream over here? All of those things start coming in. And so like last Friday, I had my 3 glasses of wine. We had ordered pizza for dinner, which I had planned. And so so I was like, I'm having my 3 glasses of wine. That's it. Well, I had my 3 glasses and then that one little glass was left and it was so sad and lonely. That was the story I was telling myself. And I decided that it was a great idea to have that glass of wine, the 4th glass of wine. So when I came back in from the porch to put the pizza away, guess what looked really good to me? Because this was no longer in charge. This had taken over. It was in charge. And so I had another piece of pizza. I was not hungry. I had another piece of pizza. So I basically gave my weight loss away to a glass of wine this weekend. And so that's what I did. I mean, I literally was like, here, glass of wine. I will give you my weight loss for the weekend. And so it's not only about, setting up things that you can have, like external accountability and all that other kind of stuff. All that is great, but you really do need to decide at what point does your thinking brain kind of turn off and the party starts. So that was what I was going to remind y'all of today, because it is, I've decided that I do want to be a drinker. But I know my limit if I want to honor myself and honor my weight loss. And so, that is the preaching portion of this call. So if you are talking in the chat, you want to make sure that you have selected all panelists and attendees so that everybody in the chat can see what you're saying. I'm not so good about getting in the chat. So y'all want to be talking to one another over there. If you have a question for me, you can post it in the Q&A box. And if I have time, I will be more than happy to answer that. And like I said, we will be here for 1 hour, for for 1 hour. All right. Let's see who we got here. Two people have raised their hand. Yay. So we have, I'm about to pull up Leandra, and then we have Kelly on after that. So this is acting like a jack wagon. Okay. All right. Here comes Leandra. Let's see. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
I think you solved all the problems with what you just said.
Oh my. Maybe. It needs to be addressed.
Because I was having that problem from the 3 to 4, because, you know, I've been listening to your coaching about drinking, I was like, okay, I'll make a realistic plan, especially on the weekends. I'll put like 4 drinks. But then as I'm getting closer to there, like closer to the 3 and 4, that's when I could see all the, eating pizza or cookies or just, stuff going awry.
Yeah.
I think that will be helpful. Go in the future, but sometimes I'm like during the week, I'm pretty good at I plan 2 glasses of wine, every night, and I've learned to pour less ounces of wine each night, so that it's not as much wine, but I still like the act of, for me, like drinking is a luxurious thing in my head. That's, oh, by the way, in the self-sabotage story, or self-sabotage, one of the stories I have about drinking wine is I feel rich. So that's a whole other thing, but I'm not sure how it ties in. But I definitely like having my 2 glasses of wine a night, but then on Fridays and Saturdays, you know, it definitely extends more. So I'm just trying to think, especially right now we're in pool season, my drinking starts sooner. It's 3 o'clock on a Friday, and then it goes until 10 o'clock. Same thing on Saturday.
What is the thought? You have a thought during the week. These 2 glasses are awesome. That's what I enjoy. That's what I want. What are your thoughts that get you not to drink more on the weekday versus the weekend? There's you have some story about it. What is the story?
I think I'm able to shorten the window of drinking from I don't start until 8 and I finish at 10. So because the next morning I got to get up at 6. So in my head, I'm the thought is I need to go to bed. And so I need to stop drinking. And so that's an easy, for me, that sets me up. That's an easier setup than, because I don't start any sooner than 7:45 or 8 o'clock to drink. And then I got to go to bed. So it's how do I, it's that question, how do you set yourself up for success? That's one of the ways that's helped me. But then on the weekends, I feel like it's the overeating problem, but it's I don't have to get up at 6, right, on Saturday or Sunday. The mornings are a little bit longer. I still have to do some of the same things, taking the dog out, but it's not I have to be alert and ready to go. So the evenings extend, they start sooner because it's I'm not going to the gym after work. On a Friday, it's pool time. We're going to the pool. We're going to have a couple of Trulies and then we're going to come home and eat. And that means we're going to have some more glasses of wine or cocktails. And then
why does it mean that? You've said it it's a fact.
That's what I need help with.
Yeah. No, you're just saying it it's the gospel, but it's not. And we know it's not because there are a ton of people who don't drink at all on the weekends.
Right. Yeah.
So the story that you have is, I don't have to get up, I don't have to get up early in the morning. And then we go to the pool and you have Trulies and then you come home and you have wine, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So that's your self-sabotage story, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing. So what do you want? What do you want your relationship with wine or alcohol to be on the weekends?
Like I still want to have fun. Like I still enjoy it. I just don't want to feel like, I just don't like when you're, especially just the beginning of the call when you were like talking about the, like, I want to be able to stop at 3 or 4, like 3, actually I say 4, but 4 is when that the bad decisions are start to happen. But I think the story that I'm telling myself is 3 is not enough. Like, for that long period of time, like in my, I know these
not are enough thoughts, for what?
It's, I'm going to get sober at some point.
And why is that a problem?
It's not a problem. It's not like I live to be drunk, but like, I think in my head, I'm like, I don't know. I equate weekends with, it's not like I'm even getting drunk. It's just like,
So what do you want your story to be about alcohol on the weekend? Like, what do you want to tell yourself on the weekend? I mean, what's the weekends for?
I mean, weekends are for relaxing and connecting with my husband and or my friends and or my family. Like, a lot of times I'm with that. Well, not right. Well, right now it's just been my husband because of the quarantine thing. But like, man, I can feel myself having a hang up about this.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing is, what does wine or alcohol have to do with relaxing and connection?
It doesn't. It's just like, I think
it's the story. It's because, that's what you've built up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, because you said it like it was, I mean, it was like truth. Like, that's what you do. I mean, you go to the pool and you have, and I'm going to listen. And I'm telling you this because I'm right there with you. I remember the first time I went. We have a neighborhood pool. I remember the first time I went to the pool and took water.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say that it was like the greatest day ever, but then the next time I did it, it was easier.
Yeah. I mean,
but you're going to, I mean, it's always that discomfort model. Like, that right. When you change it, it's going to feel weird because it's okay. You've identified as a person who gets relaxation and connection from wine.
Right.
Who you are.
Right.
So now you're going to try to divorce from that story that you have about yourself.
Yeah. I don't know how to divorce my story. I mean, other than to do it one drink at
a time. It's the same. Yeah. It's the same exact thing with any story that you have.
Yeah.
You know, I need to have a snack at, you know, I always have a snack at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I always do that. And then when you start to listen to your hunger scale, you're like, maybe I'm not. Like, maybe, okay. Maybe I'm not hungry. Like, yeah. And I mean, you know my, I don't know if you know my story. I'm saying you know my story, but I backed out one glass of wine at a time. Right. Yeah. Like, I didn't. So, you know, if you have a window that starts at 3 o'clock on the weekends, how about 3:30?
Yeah.
And then how about 4? And then how about 4? And then you get it to the window that you like.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to have some thoughts. You're going to have that equal air time. So what kind of thoughts do you need to have whenever it is 3 o'clock and it's hot and a Truly would sure taste good? And all your friends are drinking, and your husband is drinking, and you are having water.
I mean, I still get to be with them. I still get to laugh with them. Or laugh, you know, be with my husband. I feel like I'm more connected if I'm not thinking about the next drink I'm having. I don't know. They're like when I go to the pool, I mean, last night I went to the pool and I didn't have a drink. And it was just fun just to listen to all the conversations, you know, it was just, but I guess learning to, I guess, be present and not thinking about like, is my glass full? Do I have all the, you know, drinks with me?
And the other thing is I'm learning to connect, you know, I'm willing to believe, like that kind of like little ladder thought. I'm willing to believe that I can have just as much connection and relaxation without wine for the next hour until it's my, you know what I mean? Until it's my drinking window. I'm willing to believe.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to be like, I've decided never to drink on the week. Like, it's not like that. Yeah. It's that whole level up thing of like, I am willing to, you know, believe that I can be a person who can wait till 4 o'clock to drink, or I can wait till 5 o'clock and drink. Okay. I'm willing to believe that I can make a connection with people without alcohol in my hand.
Okay.
I'm choosing my goals right now. Like, you know, my weight loss goals. I'm choosing the person that I want to be. I'm developing the relationship with alcohol that I want.
Okay.
This is me taking control of myself. Like things like that, like really get yourself super empowered with it. You know, like this is like the best version of me made this decision for me. It doesn't have to be comfortable the whole time, you know, but I'm willing to sit through a little bit of discomfort so that I can get my goals and I can develop the relationship that I want. I mean, that's the whole kind of conversation. And I'll be honest, the first few times you do it, it's going to be hard because all you're going to be thinking about is the wine or whatever. Yeah. And then the connection probably won't feel as good as when you get a few times under your belt. Yeah. Because you're going to be doing equal airtime in your brain while they're doing something else.
Yeah.
And you just be smiling. And then like this whole like conversation's going on in your head.
Okay. Whew. Okay.
But it's that level up though. It's don't go from like, I start drinking at 3 o'clock every Saturday to I'm not going to drink till 6. Like, that just ain't going to happen. That's not even a thing.
Okay.
You know, figure out what will give you a little bit of discomfort that you can work through and do the equal airtime, but still be successful with it.
Okay.
And then have that conversation, all the thoughts, all the conversation with yourself and remind yourself and, you know, even visualize. Like I it took me forever to visualize. Like I thought it was woo woo and it never would work and whatever, all the things. But when I really did it and I would sit down and just imagine yourself being at the pool and everybody is drinking and you're having water and imagine yourself saying no to yourself, your brain does not know the difference between you actually saying no and turning down a drink or you thinking it and walking yourself through the whole scenario. So if you did that a few times this week before the weekend, your brain already will think that it's done it a few times.
Okay.
It's super smart, but we can trick it. And that's a great way to trick it because you go into the weekend with like 2 or 3 wins.
Yeah.
Before the thing actually happens.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You can figure it
out. Okay. Thanks.
All right.
It's possible.
You're willing to believe that it is possible.
I am.
All right.
True story. Thank you.
She was so cute. Kelly Ewing says, MJ, 3 full glasses. Yes, I can have 3 glasses. So Anonymous says, is there any way to help keep the party brain from taking over for my thinking brain? It seems like just 1 or 2 of wine and my party brain kicks in and I eat all the things. Does it get easier with practice? The one thing I'm going to ask you is this a battle you want to fight? I mean, you really have to ask yourself, why am I so attached to wine that I'm willing to fight this fight? Why is it so important to me to drink more than 1 glass of wine? That's the question you want to answer. Why am I willing to trade my weight loss and fight through urges and do all of that stuff so that I can drink more than really I need? I mean, that's sort of like you're like overeating. Like it's like when you blow past your 2, you're blowing past your tolerance to make good decisions. Why do you want to do that? So that would be the question I would ask. Kelly, you're coming up. This thing is acting so stupid. Oh, look how cute. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
What do you want coaching on today?
This is an area that I have been working on in earnest. I'm doing Mastering Drinking. Started that beginning of June, and my accountability group, this is kind of our focus, and they're going through it too, so we're all working on it together. So I've been doing kind of just what you were talking to Leandra about, like changing my window every day, because a challenge for me is once I get started, it's hard to stop before I go to bed. So I've been trying to start later and later, you know, and I have to get up for work, so I, you know, don't stay up till all hours. And then increasing slowly the number of days that I don't have any.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of weeks with one day, and this is my first week with 2 days. And
good.
One of those days. So yeah. I guess just the question I had, I was thinking, you know, do you have any good tips, or what do you do when you're sitting with that urge, you know, and it's, you know, just, you know, I get into that negotiation mode.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And just was curious about any tips you have on managing that.
Yeah. Like, well, whenever I was cutting down my drinking, it's, she talks about this in Chasing Cupcakes too. Like, once the decision is made, it's not up for negotiation. It's already been decided. You can't go back then and argue with the decision you already made for yourself, because the person, the version of you that made this decision really had your own back. Yeah. This was like when you were in full control, you knew exactly what your goal is. You know exactly what matters to you and exactly how you want to show up. That's who made your plan. When you're having those urges and all of that negotiation and stuff, that's your toddler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm going to tell y'all think I'm crazy. When I hear the toddler, I put on the full toddler voice. It helps me. But, I mean, all day, that's so ridiculous. I could just have one. Well, I stop at one. I promise I'll stop at, like, come on now. I mean, yeah. Really. It sounds very adult when you say it in your really life brain and in your head. But, like, let's just... You know, let's just put on the toddler voice and let it pitch its little fit.
Let it sound silly to you.
Yeah. And then remind yourself. And again, y'all, I mean, it is not like you're going to go from drinking every day to choosing not to drink one day. There's discomfort in there. It's mm-hmm. not fun. It's not like you're not going to sit over there and be like, I'm noticing an urge. This is really not that bad. And really, I mean, it would really be a good idea for you to do that feeling the feels sheet that's in No BS, the feeling the feelings
okay.
sheet. Because
okay.
honestly, y'all, for all of y'all, any emotion that you have, like for an urge, for instance, like you probably, like your throat probably feels dry. Like all, if you actually go through, like do a body scan of what it feels like, it's not that bad. What makes it so bad are the thoughts. They mm-hmm. add to it. And that's what intensifies the urge.
Yeah.
And it's all about managing those thoughts. That's exactly what it's about. And so putting it in your toddler brain, and then really just keep, you just have to keep reminding yourself. And yeah. don't judge the urge. Like, don't be like, I wish it would be over already. Oh my God, is this ever going to end? I don't know if I can make it any longer. This might, you know, I might not be able to do it tonight. I just don't know. Like, that's when you add suffering to the urge.
Yeah.
And there's an urge, and then you can add with your thoughts, you can make it so much worse by the things that you think. And yeah. so it's really about like coming from a place of love. Like, I mean, and that starts in the morning. Like, today you're not going to drink. When you write your plan, like, I would write it and put, like, an exclamation point, be all excited, and, like, during the day, be like, I am so glad that I made this decision for myself. Like, I really have got my own back. I have, like, I am really learning how to take care of myself and like just love on yourself all day long about the decision that you've made and build it up so big in your head that it might make it a little bit easier in the evening.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, and I listened to Rachel Hart. I don't know if you've listened to that. I think it's episode 174 with the stop, drop, and breathe. And she suggested, you know, talking to yourself with the stop. Just say, you know, talking nice, saying, you know, hey, we're not going to do that today. You decided early. So I've been doing a lot of that.
You know? And it is like, just, I mean, really do give yourself a pat on the back all day long for the choice that you made.
Okay.
And then really, that's something I haven't been doing. And if the urge seems really, really like strong, take a minute and say, what am I thinking right now? I know this urge is, am I adding to it by what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Could it be that I'm making this worse than it needs to be on myself right now?
Yeah.
Like, really, you know, because that's what it's coming from. It's coming from your thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll check out that worksheet. I haven't done that one, the Feel the Feelings.
Yeah, do that and just go with urge and see how it was.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, see what an urge feels like.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. Let's see. Megan, I have been trying to level up my drinking since March. Went from every night to 3 times a week, 4 glasses of wine. I find myself going over my limit of 4 drinks to 6 to 8. Did I level up unrealistically or do I need to change my thoughts? Seems to be a pattern now for me. Megan, that's exactly what I did. I went from drinking like 4 to 6 glasses of wine every day. And then I went down to 4 every day. Then I started to like level up in that way that you're talking about. But I honestly, I did not allow myself to go back. It was like 1 bottle of wine. I wouldn't get a box. If you're trying to level it up and you're drinking more than 4, I'd be like, when this bottle is gone, I cannot open up another bottle. I wouldn't have any more sitting around. I would put them all up. I would even put the wine opener up and just, you know, put it away. And then you also came back and asked, is it better to have a drinking window or drinking limit of drinks? I like a limit of drinks. And some people do love, because I'm going to tell y'all, I tried having a time. I drank like a damn fish. I would be like slurping it down. I would not even take a break because I was like, I got to get it all in because it's my window. But whenever I had a window, I mean, a drink number, it helped me so much. But like Corinne does a window and she does well with that. It's just really whatever works best for you. So, Catherine, y'all, Miss Catherine that I'm pulling up right now, just made it to Wonderland. Correct, Catherine? As soon as you're unmuted. Oh, shoot. Raise your hand again, Catherine. That was on me. I went to start your video and I hit the wrong thing. Catherine, raise your hand. I'll tell you about Catherine. Catherine lives in New York and she did like during the COVID and all that stuff in New York was shut down. She did like, she'll tell us exactly, like a 6-mile walk in her little apartment because she's badass like that. And then, she's very awesome. I have some, she wrote some books, edited some books, and they're right. She gave them to me. They're right back there. So she's my friend. And she made it to Wonderland. Yes. I saw that. I know. I saw your post on Facebook and then I was like, and I did something else and then it was gone. I'm like, I'm never going to find it again.
Aw.
So, but now I get to tell you, congratulations.
Thank you. I was so excited.
I'm sure.
Okay, so I actually made notes to try to say this as fast as possible. So
okay.
I think I got into the habit, and I think it really is a habit, of drinking like 2 to 4, maybe on a really bad night, 6, you know, drinks a night. And I find that I have so much more energy, and I'm just better in my life when I do that less, you know, when I stick to more 2 or 3 days a week. So I actually did a 30-day recently because you always just hear about how your life is going to be so perfect if you
cut back and people talk about you're less cranky and you sleep like a baby and all of that. So I decided, partly because I was on lockdown in the middle of COVID, that like I was like, I can do my job, I can homeschool my son, and I can drink. I can do 2 out of 3 of those things right now. I cannot do all three.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually decided to do a 30-day, and I did. But here's what happened was, you know, I thought it would be like some giant weight loss. I lost 4 pounds that month, you know, and I thought like I would just have soaring energy and like less anxiety, but I didn't. Now, part of it might be because I was on lockdown in New York City.
I was going to say, I mean, come on now.
But I was so disappointed, and this is what I realized when I was trying to think about what, since I don't get coached because I can't think exactly what the question is, and so then my toddler brain, I think, was like, meh. You know, I slept better for like week 2, but then week 3, I slept terribly again. But my toddler brain was like, meh, meh, meh. You know, I thought, I think I thought like the oceans would, you know, like that my whole life would be perfect, you know.
It would be transformed. Yeah.
Yes. Then when it wasn't, I was disappointed. And just, the day I was done, I went right back, like very quickly, into my old patterns. I mean, it took me a few weeks to rev back up. And so now I'm just irritated with myself. But what was interesting was during the 30 days, there were whole days where I didn't even think about alcohol. Like it really got very easy. So I think it is just a habit. And I'm trying, and I feel like to get, my next 60 pounds off, this is going to be an issue. And I know you've talked about this with you, that, you needed to shift it. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, I think I need another plan. And I just decided to try to come on and talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's very common. And I think trying to judge how you felt and your energy level and all of that while you are in an apartment lockdown in New York City during the middle of a pandemic was probably not the best judge of how you felt. Right?
Like, maybe I need to just give it.
So it must have been, I'm not feeling stressed or like my energy is not soaring, like I thought it would. So apparently cutting out alcohol didn't help. Like, never mind that I'm in like this apartment in the middle of the pandemic. So like, I wouldn't even use that data. Like, you have like, I mean, you know now what it's like to handle the urges and do all of that other kind of stuff. I mean, that's the kind of data you want to rely on. Not really, how you, that you didn't see the shift. Because it could be completely different and under different circumstances.
Yeah, there's also another thing where my doctor had lowered my thyroid medicine that I've been on forever. And then this sounds crazy, but in the middle of all the insanity, I actually just never switched to the lower dose. I was like, I'm just going to finish this bottle and then switch. And then I didn't. It's like a long. So I also think that my anxiety was up because I was taking too much Synthroid, which then when I realized that and I dropped it, my anxiety did drop, because I was sort of pushed into hyperthyroid, whereas I'm normally hypo. So I also think that plus the pandemic, like these were all factors. And maybe I just need to like, I also like that feel like I need to like look at my compelling reasons. Because even if I don't sleep like a baby, I know that like it's going to affect my weight loss. It's also my health. My mother died of breast cancer. Like, there's a lot of reasons to cut back my drinking beyond all these like little rainbows and pink clouds I thought I was supposed to, I expected and didn't.
So when you quit for the 30 days and then you went back, what was that thought?
I think I was really disappointed. Like, I think I really had built up this giant expectation about what was going to happen. Like, I think I'd been telling myself a story that this was the thing holding me back from I'd really built up a story in my mind around that, like, if I wanted to have some big weight loss jump, it was also like I was teetering on Wonderland. I was around 210 then, and I was trying to get down into Wonderland. And so I think I thought that 30 days of no drinking, it would all just happen. And then, of course, it didn't. Then, of course, like, PMP, why don't I ever listen? I worked on my +2, and boom, I got to Wonderland. You know? So it's like that was much more important than this. So I think that in now going into the second half of my weight loss goals, I just think it is going to have an effect. So,
and it may, it absolutely may. And you need to decide like now, if it's something that you want to work on right now or not, and like my whole thing was, I didn't really, I was still, I lost weight while I was still drinking 4 to 6 glasses of wine a day. And then at some point it slowed. And that's when I had to make my decision. I had to make a decision. I knew. And like, you know, we always talk about don't ever change anything until you know you're dialed in to your hunger scale, your food plans are dialed in, all of that kind of stuff. So what you were trying to do was change something else before you really looked at your four basics.
That's true. And then
when you looked at your four basics, you're like, well, hell, I'm overeating. No wonder this weight isn't coming off. And you may even be at the point right now that you can still drink that much if it doesn't affect you and you still choose to and you want to work on other things for now. Now, would your weight loss be faster if you weren't drinking it? Maybe. I don't know. We'll never know. But it's just a decision you make. But like then when you don't see your results that you want on the scale and you know you're dialed in with your hunger scale and you know you're dialed in with your planning and you know you're dialed in with all of that stuff, that's when you want to start eliminating things.
Right. Okay. This is actually helpful. And then I guess, and if I still want to eliminate the drinking for other reasons beyond weight loss, I think that
exactly
I need to like do some compelling reasons around it.
Yeah.
Because that's in Jen's class, right? Is you do, because I did that and actually that was really helpful. Her class, her no drinking class.
Right.
I think you write out all of your compelling reasons. I've also done Rachel Hart's 5-day, which I found really good.
Yeah.
And see, then I did have story energy and I did sleep better. And then I was able to ease off for quite a while after that. So I do think like I'm just trying to judge this thing when I'm in the middle of a pandemic and like that maybe that data, I think you're wise. I need to just chunk that data and get some new data if I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now that things are opening back up and all that kind of stuff, your medicine is right. All that, like all of that now is a great time to like, and it is again, like it's changing your action line instead of going like, what can I really do right now to level it up without changing anything? Which was your, you know, paying attention to your four basics.
Right. Which I thought I was. And then listening one day, I realized I was like, oh no,
yeah,
I'm not. And then it really, my body was like, thank you. Boom.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you for the love at the very beginning. I was super nervous about, I've never been coached before. Do you know that in 18 months of PMP? This is my first coach.
No, I didn't know that.
DSB where I was just like I almost didn't count, but you know what I mean, because I'm just asking you random things about my toes, but this and I was so nervous at the beginning I was distracted, sorry.
But it's me.
I know, but still
it's me.
I know. I feel silly, but
yeah
thank you. It's
exciting. Well, congratulations, and I'm glad now you can finally leave your apartment.
Yay. I know, it's been good. Thank you so much, super helpful.
Yeah. All right, bye. She's so cute. She's so cute. Yeah. So people are asking about Rachel Hart. So Rachel Hart also went to the Life Coach School with Corinne. And she has a podcast called Take a Break. And even if you are not a drinker, a lot of what she talks about is very much what Corinne talks about. She uses the same tools and techniques and managing your mind and doing all that kind of stuff. And anybody is welcome to go listen to her podcast, Take a Break with Rachel Hart, and just insert food instead of drinks. It works. It really does work. It's really, really good. So yeah, Rachel Hart's urge management stuff is that she's really, really good. Just a different perspective on the same thing. And then, but you can do the same thing here with drinks with Corinne's program. So, yeah. So Nancy says, I wrote my question in the chat. If I plan to drink, what do I do with the rest of my meal plans? Do I eliminate other foods? No, you never punish yourself or take away something because you're having a drink. Or if you decide to plan even like dessert or something, you don't punish yourself. If you overeat one day, you don't restrict the next day to punish yourself. You just learn from that and you move along. So this is not about punishment, beating yourself up, any of that kind of stuff. And so, but you do want to plan your drinks. So either, you know, the way people do it is either they plan their number of drinks or their window of drinking. So I'm going to drink from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. and whatever I drink in that time is whatever I drink, and you don't keep up with it. For me though, I need to count my drinks. And so, I'll typically have like 3 drinks. If I'm going to still want to be engaged, in my brain and listen to what's going on in there. So Jennifer, so I don't drink often, but when I do start drinking, I feel like I cannot stop. In essence, I replace food with alcohol and will binge. What can I do to stop this type of binging? This is the whole thing. Again, I'm going to ask that same question. Why are you wanting to manage it so hard? If it's not something you do very often and you know what you typically do when you have it, why is it that important to you? That's the question I would ask myself. You know, or if you wanted to go like to a restaurant or something and have a glass of wine and you don't have wine at your house or alcohol at your house and you know that would stop you from, because you just don't have it, then, you know, but I'd ask why I'm hanging on to it so hard. Why do I feel like I need it? Kelly, when I cut back, did I get sad without the wine? Yes, I did. I was sad for a minute, but I was doing the same things that I was talking to Kelly about. Like, I really did like tell myself what a great job I was doing and, you know, how awesome it was that I had made this decision for myself and all of that stuff. I do remember several nights when I would call my friend, I'd be like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not drinking, you know? It took me a while. And Andrea says, do you need a list what you will drink? I usually put wine, you know, or you can just put drinks. You don't have to put what specifically you're going to have. I don't think that's necessarily necessary. Okay, we have Charmaine and then Kathy. I love that name. Charmaine, who doesn't love that? Oh, look. Let's see. Uh-huh. Let's see if we can start your video. Hello.
Hello.
I love your name.
Thank you.
What are we coaching on?
Well, so for me, drinking is, well, I did the 30-day no drinks in January, and it wasn't because I was thinking, oh, I might lose some more weight. It was just more, I just wanted to take a break from drinking, and I did it. No issue, no big deal. And then I went home to the UK in February, and, you know, I knew I was going to drink. You know, that's the thing, meet up with friends and family, was going to a wedding. That was cool. And then, obviously, I then came back, and the pandemic started, and you know, probably for the first month, maybe I was drinking, I would say it most nights, if not every day. And I've cut back since. But what I've found is that, you know, I may not drink that much during the week, but then they're piled on at the weekend when I'm on Zoom calls with, like, you know, like virtual Zoom calls with friends at the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, maybe. And I just find that it's just so easy to just keep pouring the drinks. And, you know, I'm like, I don't really want to do that all the time, but I don't know why I keep doing that. Because
why do you keep doing it? I mean, you have a thought, there's something going on. Like you're at the end of your glass, right? It doesn't just pour itself. Like you have a thought. What is that thought?
I guess because it's just there. I mean, I guess I put it on plan and I think, well, it's on my plan. I can have another drink. And
so do you just put drinks complete, like no limit drinks? Is that what you're planning? Like,
yeah, I mean, like,
it would be like putting pizza and then eating four pizzas because it said pizza on my plan, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So what would you think about planning like three drinks?
That could be realistic.
You do not sound convinced. You're like, well.
I mean, well, you know what? I wouldn't say I'm really drinking eight drinks either. You know, I mean, if I'm probably counting drinks, I'm probably having maybe four or five at the max for a night when I am drinking. So, I mean, I guess three drinks wouldn't be impossible. And I've had some nights where I just had a couple of drinks, but sometimes I just feel like I'm just, the bottle's there. So I just keep pouring as we've been on our Zoom chats for 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, that'll be your level up, because right now, because you haven't really been, it's always like it's on plan because you didn't plan the number. So it sounds really good. Like, well, it's on my plan. It's on my plan. And so when you, like, you'll really start to identify the thoughts that you're having. If you plan like, and if you're having 4 or 5, I would start by planning 4. Like, start with planning 4 drinks. And then when you get ready to pour that 5th, be like, what am I thinking right? This is not on my plan. And that could be enough of a tweak, you know, because now it's like, well, it's on my plan, which it is. And really, you're not like going over your hunger scale because, you know, it's just, it's drinks. It's not like going over your hunger scale. So there's no stop with that either. So you, with drinks, you have to kind of put your external stop on there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because in between, I usually have water as well. So I guess for me, I kind of feel like, well, I'm being good. I'm still drinking my water. So I feel good about, you know, having another glass of wine. But
right.
Yeah, I think actually putting that limit on it.
Yeah.
You know, seeing that physically written down.
Yeah.
Of the amount of drinks versus just putting wine or just putting cider and then it's a free-for-all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see what happens. Because right now you're thought of, well, it's on my plan. You know, I mean, which is, it is. But once you put those, then you'll really start to recognize the thoughts. Like, but it might be like, but everybody else is still drinking. But I don't want to be done yet. You know, I mean, you might start to notice thoughts like that. And then that's where you can do your work.
Okay, I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Number of drinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see what happens. See what comes up when you do that.
I'm writing my thoughts down as I'm pouring the drinks or if I'm attempting to pour a 5th drink.
Yes. What am I thinking right now? Why am I doing that? Like, and let your, you know, that's what I've been talking about all night. Like, you know, really build yourself up in your head the whole entire day. Like, I am, like, look at me leveling up my drinking. Like, I'm planning 4 drinks. I mean, like, really build yourself up on that and give yourself, like, the credit for you stepping up and trying to, you know, change this up a little bit.
Okay.
Celebrate your badassery.
Yes. All right. Thank you. I'm going to give that a try. I think that's not what I've done. And I don't really think about it. I just do it.
Everybody loves your voice.
Thank you.
You know how we are with those, you know, you're from England?
Yes.
Yeah. We love your voice. All of us in the chat. You should see them. Lots of love for your accent. Lots of love. All right. You have a great night.
Hey, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know I could talk to her all night long, y'all. I love that. That makes me happy. Leslie, the truth is I don't really want to stop drinking. Me either, Leslie. I enjoy my alcohol on the weekend, but I do need to figure out how to not get a little grab-assy. And my drink is vodka with ice and a squeeze of lemon. Okay, this is the whole thing. You want to keep track of what you're drinking, how many you're drinking. And then as you're, you know, you'll get to 2 or 3 or whatever your number will be. And then you'll notice that, like, food looks really, really good. Well, guess what? That's too many. You need to drink one less than that. And then see what happens then. See if you get less grab-assy. Because that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the call. At some point, your prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of your brain, shuts off. And the party in the back. Because we, like Corinne says, we have a mullet brain. Business in the front, party in the back. So you want to make sure that the business in the front stays in business. You don't want to relegate everything to the party in the back. So you need to find out what your, like for me, it's three. That's my number. I go to four, back here takes over. So you need to find out what that number is. What is the best, this is Cheryl, what is the best tip for changing how relationships are influencing when I drink? You don't have to cut people off. I don't want to cut people off. You don't have to. Or if they're only your friend because you drink, are they your friends? I mean, that's the honest truth. You know, I mean, it would be like, you know, I had an eating friend, y'all, that like she called me every time we wanted to, you know, she wanted to eat because she knew I'd be all in. And really, whenever I quit overeating as much, it was like, she really wasn't my friend. She was my eating friend. And my friends and I drink a lot. We always have drank when we're together. But there are some nights I don't. And they're still my friends. You don't have to cut someone off because you're not having alcohol with them. So I would work on that a little bit. Let's see. Kathy. Let's see, Kathy. Let's see. Unmute. Start the video. Kathy. I don't know if she meant to raise her hand. You know, sometimes that does happen. All right. I'm going to pull her down. Ava. I think we have time for Ava. And then I'll answer these couple questions in the Q&A. And we will be out of here. Let's see. Ava. What is going on, y'all? Hello. It says Ava will start video later. That's weird. I wonder if it's me. Oh, she did not mean to raise her hand. All right, Jennifer. Let's see. Third time's a charm, y'all. Is that how it works? Let's see what happens. This is so strange. It's never happened three times in a row that I can get people. Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So I am new, and I asked that question in the Q&A, and you kind of said, well, why? I think you asked me, why do I want to keep drinking? I think was what you had asked me. Uh-huh. So I don't drink because I know I have limits. And I think what happens is I go to special occasions, and that's like, I'm a special occasion drinker. And so I have, like, this weekend, I have camping coming up. And when we go camping, we always do, you know, mimosas on Saturday morning. And then if we go fishing, we'll do like beers in the afternoon. And that's just kind of how it's always been. But like, for me, I start to treat alcohol like it's food. And then I start to go back to food because now.
Oh, you broke up. You're breaking up a little bit, Jennifer.
I'm hungry because I've been drinking, and it's like, oh, hello. I have bad service. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm sitting in my car. So I think you kind of said it already. It's like that party in the back, business in the front. And I think I'm shutting it off, and maybe I just don't plan the alcohol, or maybe I just plan the alcohol and then I just say, that's it. I'm trying to figure out like what the best move is because I enjoy the whole thing.
Like, you know, it's like the other, like, Leandra, I think was the first caller. And she was like, it's just what we do. Like, we go camping and we drink. I mean, duh, that's what happens. But the whole thing is there are plenty of people that go camping and don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can't go camping. Like, there's not anybody at the campground checking to make sure everybody's got alcohol or you got to be out of there. Right?
That's true.
But it's the story that we keep telling ourselves, like, but it's just how it is. Like, that's just what happens. Like, that's, we just fish and drink. We have mimosas and all of that kind of stuff. And you can decide if, you know, but like I was saying, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the call, but I had an extra glass of wine on Friday night. And I basically gave away my weight loss this past weekend for a glass of wine.
Yeah, I kind of heard the tail end of that. I came in a little late, but that's how I feel.
Right. And so I have that limit. I mean, I can have three drinks and then I eat. It's what happens. I know that's what happens. So why am I so hell-bent to try to continue to have that extra drink? Right. Why does it mean that much to me? That's the question.
That's a great question. So I'll be asking myself that. So maybe for this weekend going forward, because we have a few of these trips coming up. And so I think for this weekend, maybe a good thing to do would be to plan a few mimosas. Mm-hmm. And then instead of maybe the beer, would it be a level up if I just had like diet soda instead and tried to replace it that way so that I don't feel like I'm missing out?
Yeah. And you can even do like, Corinne even talks about like when she goes out, like she does like seltzer with like a splash of lime or lemon, or like they have those like LaCroix, which they're nasty. But I will tell y'all, we were in Nashville last weekend. We were in Nashville for a coaches meeting, and Betsy Hart, one of the other coaches, she got the bubbly, like, and it was like blackberry bubbly, and y'all, it was good. I'm not even trying to lie. I'm thinking I'm gonna get some for myself here at the house.
Those must be the ones with fruit juice in them or something.
I don't, it has like no calories, nothing, but they don't taste like LaCroix. I'm not a LaCroix fan. Some people love them. I know.
Yeah, I don't really care for them.
I know. I stayed at home for a while. I mean, I worked before I did this. And then, but before that I worked, and like all of my friends would drink LaCroix, and I thought I had to be cool with them, but it's just not worth it. So, oh, look. A yummy non-alcoholic drink is frozen strawberries with a diet 7-Up and rum extract blended up. Oh, somebody loves LaCroix.
So it's like a cocktail, like a mocktail.
It's a mocktail. Yeah. So awesome. Something like that, or just, you know, or like you said, like a diet drink or something, whatever.
Just replace it.
Yeah.
And then maybe plan, like choose one and plan it is what maybe I should do.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you can get fancy with your, let them sit around with their nasty beers on the boat. Find some fancy to drink.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Find you something fancy. All right. It was nice to meet you and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. She was so cute. All right. We have a few questions and then we're going to be done. Oh, we got several questions. Melissa, MJ, could you please elaborate on drinks not going over your hunger scale? If it's not water for hydration, does it not count for the hunger scale? I may be having a mind-blowing moment. I have always thought that I needed to be hungry for my bulletproof coffee or more coffee in the morning since there are calories involved. Not that we count them. Wouldn't we need to be hungry or something? So this is the whole thing, especially when you're talking about alcohol, you really don't want to be hungry when you drink it because that means that you're like drinking on an empty stomach. I wouldn't suggest that. Then your limit is even lower. And so what I do, like, we don't count water on our hunger scale. You don't have to be hungry to drink water, right? So anything that I drink, I drink my bulletproof coffee in the mornings, but I am not hungry. I'm still not hungry when I drink that. That's my coffee, and it gives me life, and I must have it, and that's what I do. And then for subsequent cups of coffee, if it doesn't have the bulletproof in them, I put heavy cream in them. And I'm not at my hunger. Now, I will tell you this. If I go to the Starbucks and I get like, you know, I love brewed chai tea with heavy cream and Splenda. And I do drink that when I'm hungry. I don't allow myself to have that because they put a lot of heavy cream in it, and it makes me feel full. So, you know, that's how I handle like my beverages and stuff, but like just regular beverages like water or tea or coffee, I'm not hungry. And like I said, don't get to a -2 and decide to drink. That's probably not the best idea, Melissa. I would not be hungry. Leanne, I seem to allow my plan to go out the window after I start drinking. I usually put 2 drinks on my plan on the days that I drink, but then I self-sabotage and allow myself to have an effort eat. I'm struggling with why. Any advice? It's your thought. Whatever your thought is. And, you know, I was talking about that at the beginning of the call, and I've talked about this several times throughout the call. At some point, you are no longer making rational decisions. And maybe your number is 1. I would try 1 and see if you can still have the back and forth conversation. And then the other thing too, make sure you don't have a story that, I mean, it's just what happens. But whenever I drink, I just eat. And you just keep telling yourself that. And then every time you do drink, then you do eat. So make sure that your story is good around it. Like, I'm, you know, I'm working on not eating whenever I'm drinking or whatever that is. Mine is the fear of feeling good when I don't drink. I have to feel the feelings I don't want to feel. My life is good. What am I afraid of? I am telling you, Anonymous, this is such a good question. When you're not used to feeling feelings, like, you may think that, like, if I cry, I'm never going to stop. You know, I'm so sad, it's never going to get any better. I just want to ask you, have you ever seen, I mean, we've seen some people go through some horrific stuff. Have you ever seen someone just cry and never stop? No, that's a story that you have. When you have a feeling, it is just a vibration in your body. We were talking about this earlier, that your thoughts can make it worse for you. So I'm telling you, that feeling, I'm going to tell you exactly where it is. Who knows where it is? It's in No BS, the feelings worksheet. I'm going to include it here in the thing for all the chats over my No BS. No BS. It is something that's later on. Let me find it. Just the facts. This feeling, the feelings. Module 8, Unit 4. There's a feeling, the feelings worksheet. And you go through that, and it's basically like a body scan. You know, so whatever you're afraid of feeling, if it's sad, if it's disappointment, if it's overwhelm, whatever that feeling is, you sit for a minute, close your eyes, and just go through your whole body and see what that actually is. Because what you're afraid of is not nearly as bad as you're making it out to be. Thank you, Coach Maya's in the chat telling us where all the stuff is. Thank you. I love her. Gwen, I am celebrating too much. How do I rein it in? Make a better plan. And define what celebration is. Celebration is not deciding to go out for pizza on Friday, right? Like, what do you want celebration to mean for you? You know, celebration is not, you know, a Wednesday night sitting at home in your pajamas. Like, what is a celebration? And that's where I would start. What am I willing, what do I want to celebrate with alcohol? And just ask yourself that. Like, not everything has to be a celebration. Jane, am I better off cutting as much as I know I can, or is the entire point of doing small level ups to figure out how much I can drink without giving up my weight loss? This is the thing, Jane. When we talk about level ups, if you are a, like for me, I was a 4 to 6 glass a night wine drinker. I could not go and be like, and now I'm going to drink 1 glass a day. I would have white knuckled and like beat myself up all the way through that. And I might could have done it for a day or two, but it would not have worked long term for me. It just would not have worked long term. Just like if you're a person who goes to McDonald's every day and orders a Big Mac, and then you're like, I'm done, never again. Or for me, going on the Atkins again. You know, that's what I did. That was my drug of choice, was the Atkins diet. And I'm never going to eat bread or noodles again a day in my life. As I'm like stuffing down the Alfredo and having my last supper, you know, and my garlic bread, trying to get it all in before, you know, the hammer came down. And so that's what's good about the level up. You just make 1 small change, get in the habit of that. Make 1 small change, get in the habit of that. Make 1 until you have the relationship that you want. And then it's just such small level ups that it becomes who you are along the way. So that is what you want to do. Ava, it's okay, darling. Anonymous, thanks. I'm new. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. No, it should have been all panelists and attendees. She said she didn't see anything from Coach Maya in the chat. I don't know why I didn't show up for you, but I will tell you this. We are now, we used to not, but now we are saving the chats by popular demand. She just told us, though, Rise, that it was in Module 8, Unit 4. It's where the feeling the feels. Oh, Maya, have you got all panelists and attendees checked? Yes, she does. Do y'all see it now from Coach Maya? Yeah. Oh, there. They see it now. They see the love from Coach Maya. Yeah. So that is the drinking call, y'all. That's all that's going on here. We've just talked about drinking, and here we are. So we had some good conversations tonight. So this week, just so we don't miss anything, Wednesday night, it is Coach Betsy on Zoom for 2 hours, and you just raise your hand. Like, and it doesn't have to be about drinking. It can be about anything you want to talk about. And then at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning, this is all Central Time, y'all. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm lying. Look, I have to look at it. It is 9 Central, I think. You know, I can't tell. Yes. Is Corinne is going to be on Facebook talking about, she's going to be talking about virtual camp. So if you're new, we are having virtual camp in July, and we would love to have you. And then at, on Thursday night, we have been reading Chasing Cupcakes as a membership, and Coach Kathy is going to be on at 5 Central talking about chapters 13 through 16. So that is what is going on this week inside the membership. So if you do want to go to virtual camp, y'all, you need to sign up. I think it's by next week sometime, or maybe it's this weekend. It's this weekend, I think, to get your virtual swag, to get your swag. If you're going to attend it virtually, I know a planner is in the swag. You don't want to miss it. So if you have any questions, come to that call on Thursday at 9 Central. All right, y'all. Have a great night, and I will see y'all inside the Facebook group. Bye, y'all.